open our eyes to see Him for who He is, and open our eyes to see our own sin and our need for a Savior from that sin. That's the general theme of our service for today. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, as we heard in the prelude, 435, Come to Calvary's Holy Mountain. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3. It's on page 184 and following. We have a worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side, propers are on the other. We will skip the hymn of praise and the alleluias, as we have been throughout Lent. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. I guess that's a bad play on words, huh? A short update on Vicar Short. He is holding his own. He seems to be just a tiny little bit better, and the good news is he hasn't had a blood transfusion all week. So that is very good news. And so he's had three out of four chemo treatments, and we continue to pray that God would use the doctors and the nurses and the caregivers to bring about healing, full and complete, for Vicar. I'm pretty sure he and his mom are listening on the radio, and so God's blessings in Christ. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings You shower down upon us. We thank You for the stronger man, our Lord and Savior Jesus, who has defeated sin, death, and the devil for us. There are times in our lives when we become apathetic, we become secure in our sins, and we open the door for Satan to attack us. Heavenly Father, drive us to our knees, drive us to repentance, drive us to faith in You, Your love, and Your promises. We ask for a special measure of Your healing touch upon Vicar Short. Heavenly Father, You know all things, and You are the great physician of body and soul. We beg for healing, and we also pray Thy will be done. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen for us and for our salvation. Amen. Amen. Hymn 435.
Oh, heading number 3, page 184, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant to us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of our introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and a steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament lesson for Oculi comes from the 26th chapter of the prophet Jeremiah. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord. Thus says the Lord, "Stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah that come to worship in the house of the Lord. All the words that I command you to speak to them. Do not hold back a word. It may be that they will listen, and everyone turn from his evil way, that I may relent of the disaster that I intend to do to them because of their evil deeds. You shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me, to walk in my law that I have set before you, and to listen to the words of my servants the prophets, whom I send to you urgently, though you have not listened. Then I will make this house like Shiloh, and I will make this city a curse for all the nations of the earth.' The priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. And when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, 'You shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, "This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitant"?' And all the people gathered around Jerusalem in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord, and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, 'This man deserves the sentence of death, because he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears.' Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, 'The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words that you have heard. Now, therefore, mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears.'" This is the word of our Lord.
Peace to God.
We turn to the words of our gradual as printed on your bulletin insert. We speak them together.
Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence.
The epistle lesson comes from Paul's letter to the church of God in Ephesus, chapter 5. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them, for at one time you were of darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons." While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and finding none, it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first." As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." This is the word of our Lord. Having heard the word of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, we confess our common Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men
suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated. The hymn of the day, 659. 659.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the gospel reading from Luke chapter 11, verses 14 through 28, especially these words. Jesus says, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And also, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a lesson that we learn early on in life. There are certain times in your life when you do not talk about a couple of topics. Generally, when you're starting a new relationship, or when you're starting a new job, or any family meal or gathering. And there are lots of other places, but especially these three, there are two things you do not do. You do not talk about religion, and you do not talk about politics. If you do, you run a great risk. You may drive off your potential husband or wife in a new relationship before you even get to know each other. You may cause indigestion at the family gathering before anybody has a bite to eat. You may be singled out and not hired, or persecuted if your politics or religion aren't in line with your bosses. So we have learned that in most situations, unless we feel really safe, in most situations, we just keep our mouth shut. It's safe. It's safer that way. God's word for today causes us to examine that particular norm that has been thrust upon us. I've been to Haiti 6 times. I have seen firsthand what political corruption, what gangs, what corrupt police, what hopelessness. I have seen what these things look like. All of these things caused by bad government. You look around the world today, when you see radical Muslim extremists or totalitarian places like North Korea, and you see how people are being treated, God's word says nothing about that. God's word teaches us that we should keep quiet. Well, of course not. Government is God's gift to serve His people. This is a fourth commandment issue. And we, as the people of God, can and should, in good conscience, speak based on God's word with regard to what good government is and what good government looks like. Now, as important as discussing politics or government in our world, it pales in comparison to the religious discussion and religious questions that are before us every day. These questions are about right and wrong, good and evil, God and Satan, heaven and hell. To demand that religious discussions be kept out of our conversations is to tell Jesus to shut up. And you know what? Jesus will not shut up. Thanks be to God. We have a clear example in our text. Jesus argues about religion. People say something stupid in the name of God, and Jesus has to correct it. Jesus is confronted with a terrible, terrible situation. A man with a demon. The man was mute. He couldn't speak. Most of the time when someone can't speak, it's because they can't hear. a deaf mute. This is a fairly common malady that we see in Scripture. And God's Word specifically tells us that the reason the man was mute is because he was possessed by a demon. Now, our 21st century ears hear that, and we go, oh yeah, some more of that biblical superstition. Do we take these words seriously as we approach them in Scripture? Sometimes we do. Many times, we do not. See, there are two major problems with the people of God when it comes to dealing with the Bible passages that talk about the work of Satan or demon possession. One is to give Satan too much credit. To think that somehow Satan or the spiritual realm is so important, so powerful, that we have no hope and God cannot help. A steady diet of paranormal TV shows will drive this kind of an attitude in your heart and mind. Be careful. Be very, very careful. But the other problem is much worse. The other problem is to think that Satan is a myth, is a fairy tale, doesn't exist, is not real, is a game that somehow God is playing with us. That Satan is kind of a name representing everything that's bad or naughty in our world, and that Satan really isn't the father of all lies, Beelzebub. That Satan is not in charge of a legion of demons who have one purpose and one person only: to tear you, brothers and sisters in Christ, out of Jesus' hands and spend eternity with Satan and his ilk in hell. The spiritual realm is very real. Satan is very real. Demons, evil, are very real. Brothers and sisters in Christ, all you who have been baptized into the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have been baptized for battle. That is why the church is called the church militant. It's where we get our word military. We are at war. There is a mortal combat, and I've never played the video game, so I have no idea what that even is. But we are locked in a mortal combat each and every day of our lives. There is a battle being waged for your soul. You can pretend that it doesn't exist, but that doesn't change the fact that the battle is very, very real. So, what should we, as the people of God, do? Well, the first thing we should do is pay attention to God's Word. Jesus, when confronted with evil, the demon-possessed man, the man who could not speak, when Jesus is confronted, Jesus teaches us who the stronger man is. Jesus speaks the Word, and the man is healed. I love how the Scriptures teach us this. It says, "But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons." Jesus shows us how strong and how powerful He is. It's almost like a flick of the finger. With just a little flick of the finger, He casts out the demon. He shows how strong and how powerful He is, mocking Satan and Satan's power. But the people of that day wanted to fight, and they wanted to argue. They wouldn't let the miracle of Jesus stand and testify that Jesus is no mere mortal. Jesus is God in the flesh. So they came up with some crazy idea that the only way Jesus could cast out demons is if he was in league with demons. Jesus could have kept the peace and kept quiet. He could have said, well, I'll issue a position paper on that and send it out through my representatives. He could have said, let's have a great big conference and let's all come together and let's find some common ground. But no, Jesus says, this is foolish. This is a lie. How in the world can I be in league with Satan if I'm casting out a messenger, a demon of Satan? And then he teaches us these words, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. He goes on to explain, my friends, there is no such thing as spiritual neutrality. There is no such thing as riding the fence with regard to faith in Jesus Christ. Either you're on his side or you're on the side of Satan. Either you are with God or you are with the devil. Jesus goes on, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. Every miracle of Jesus teaches us that Jesus really is who he claims to be. The Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, God in the flesh for us. Because only God can do these God-like things, healing the sick, raising the dead, walking on water, calming the storm. And every one of these miracles is a preview of the greatest miracle in the history of the world, where Jesus proved once and for all that he indeed is the stronger man. As Jesus overcame sin, death, and the devil. As Jesus hung bleeding and dying on Calvary's cross, Satan was happy. He was certain that he had won. As Jesus' stone cold dead body was laid in the tomb, there was a huge celebration in hell. God had been defeated. Death ruled the day. But that's not the answer. And that's not the truth. The end of the story is quite different. Jesus, victorious over sin, death, and the grave, even travels to hell. Not to suffer. He travels to hell to show and to prove to Satan his victory, his once and for all victory over sin, death, and the grave. He taunts the devil with the resurrection of the dead. And as he bursts forth from the tomb, he proclaims to the whole world that he, and only he, Jesus, is the stronger man. God's word for us today is a word of encouragement and a word of warning. Don't be playing around with the things of this world. Our epistle reading from Ephesians 5 tells us the kind of things that can drag us ever so slowly away from the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, crude joking, filthiness, foolish talk, All of these are out of place for the Christian. These things lull us into a false sense of security. These things accidentally and inadvertently make us in league with Satan. They tune our ears and our hearts away from Christ and the one true God and into our own lusts and passions and evil desires. How terrible it is, Jesus warns us, when a Christian, when a believer, when one who has been washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ in the waters of holy baptism begins to drift away from Christ and the Word and the church, ever so slowly drifting away. It appears that our house is in order. Things are going pretty well. Do I really need Christ? Do I really need to go to church? Everything seems to be going pretty well. Jesus says, look out. Because when you have emptied out your house of everything, including Christ, you are setting up a sign to welcome Satan back, along with even more of his demons. And the state of that person is worse than it was before. This is mortal combat. Christ is warning us that Satan will never, ever, ever take a day off, take a holiday, take a break. He is a defeated enemy. Like a defeated army, a defeated general on the run. All he can do is retreat and fire off a shot every once in a while. But that shot he fires off can be just as deadly. We are to be on guard. We are to hear the word of God. And we are to take note of almost a throwaway line in Luke chapter 11. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. Waterless places. Well, we think of a desert. We think of places where there's been a drought. Certainly where there's no water. What does that mean for the Christian? Where a Christian has forgotten his or her baptism. That is a waterless place. The longer I am a pastor and the longer I see the effects of life in the people of God, I am more firmly convinced that the part of the catechism that we do not emphasize enough is part 4 of holy baptism. To ensure that we do not become a waterless place, God calls us to return to the baptismal waters. Not on our baptism or confirmation reunion, but to return to the baptismal waters every day. Do you hear that? To return to the baptismal waters every day. You memorize these words. What does such baptizing with water indicate? It indicates that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man, a new person, should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. We don't need this once in a while. We don't need this only on our confirmation day. We need this every day of our life. Because as we return to the baptismal fonts in repentance, and true repentance is sorrow over our sin and faith that Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection, has paid the price once and for all. That is our life. That is our strength. That is our shield against the flaming arrows and bullets of Satan. That is God's gift to us each and every day. We can come up with all kinds of rules and ideas and thoughts and plans and steps for holy living and how to be a better person, how to be a better husband, how to be a better worker, how to be a better pastor. We can come up with all kinds of lists. But God teaches us all we need to know. The very last line in our text. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Let that be your encouragement today. Blessed are you as you hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are you in Jesus, the stronger man. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses our understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our spiritual warfare in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Returning to our baptism each and every day is nothing more than God giving us a new heart. We stand and sing our offertory, page 192. The stronger man for you and for your salvation. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of forgiveness, life, and salvation in the name of Jesus would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Thank you.
In addition to the prayer requests as listed in your news and notes, remember Dorothy Clausen, aunt of Pastor Poppy, who is on hospice care and whose departure seems quite near. We also remember Good Shepherd shut-in, Helen Campbell, who is hospitalized and will be going on hospice care very soon. We stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, turn our eyes to your salvation by opening our ears to hear your word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might have ears to hear your word and keep it, that our eyes might ever be turned to see the grace, mercy, and peace we have in Christ our Savior. Drive far from us the devil with all his temptations and preserve us from falling into sin and unbelief. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, remember us in our work this week. Provide suitable employment to those who are unemployed or underemployed. May all work be done well and to the glory of your name as we set our hearts, hands, and minds to the duties you have given us to do. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, grant mercy to all who are sick or suffering in any way, especially those who have requested our prayers. By your grace, give them the wisdom to discern your love through whatever they suffer, and fill us with compassion and tenderness to all who are afflicted. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, be gracious to your children who approach your altar this day. Let us partake of your Son's true body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and the salvation of our souls. Strengthen our weak faith, kindle our cold hearts with love, comfort our troubled consciences, and freshen our hope in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, precious in your sight are all those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Guard our souls, that we would abide in Christ until we too are called from this veil of tears, that we would, with all your saints, be resurrected on the last day to enter his kingdom, which has no end. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
We lay these petitions before your throne of grace, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The service of the sacrament is found on page 194. The Lord be with you. Up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Amen.
our Lord has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Lord's Day. Are now at peace and with great joy the strong are healed.
Christ.
Body of 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 Christ.
risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We stand and we sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And with our spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
May be seated. Our closing hymn, 422.
Of Jesus. Encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for all the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead. Today is the last Sunday that you can get tickets for the upcoming school benefit auction. They'll still be available on Wednesday night, but today is the last Sunday. So I see somebody sitting at the table back there. Looks like Sheila. I'm not 100% sure. So check with her. Great, great opportunity for fellowship and an opportunity to raise some dollars for the school as well, school and preschool. We have coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. You're all invited. Two opportunities for Bible study today. Our Formula of Concord Bible study in the fellowship hall will be looking at Christ's descent into hell. And believe it or not, one of the main Bible passages that talks about Christ's descent into hell is the gospel reading that the sermon was based on today, the stronger man casting out pretend strong man. So we should have some fun with that. That's in the fellowship hall. Pastor Murundi, Summary of Christian Doctrine, room 109. For those who would like a refresher in the faith or would like to find out more what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. It is time to order Easter lilies. Sign up sheet on the table in the narthex. All right? I really have a hard time making that announcement because I am so allergic to Easter lilies, but they're beautiful. Buy them. The Altar Guild folks know how to handle it so that hopefully I won't end up in the same boat as Vicar. We all heard the announcement a couple of weeks ago from Pastor Murundi. Pastor Murundi at Bible study time last week gave us lots of details about the move and the transition from Lincoln to Fort Wayne that'll happen toward the middle or end of the summer. We had our first call committee meeting on Thursday night, and it was too late to get anything in the news and notes, but the congregation is receiving suggestions for names to fill Pastor Murundi's position. We'll never be able to fill his shoes. Take a look at those size 15 gunboats. But so the call committee is asking for names. If you'd like to suggest a name, give that to one of the members of the call committee. The call committee is our eight elders plus four at-large members of the congregation. Dale Borneman, you want to raise your hand, Dale? Mark Huff, where you at, Mark? Joel Caldall, Joel, and who am I missing? Tim Higgins, and I don't think the Higgins are here at this particular service. So the elders plus those four, and we'll make sure we have an official announcement. But if you want to share some names, we'll be receiving those names through Palm Sunday. Through Palm Sunday. Anything else, Pastor? Keep Vicar in your prayers. He's not nearly as yellow today as he was a couple of weeks ago. And seems to be getting better tiny bit by tiny bit. Thanks be to God. Please join us for coffee and goodies and a study of God's Word. Blessed are you as you hear the Word of God and keep it. Amen.